Thanks for choosing the Radio Today programme. Coming up this time, the football season's back, so we'll talk sport with Lee Clayton, who's the station boss at Talk Sport. Find out their plans for the return of the Premier League. Ken Bruce is on as well. I spoke to him on the phone to talk about We Stop for Popmaster, his OB tour. James Cridlin looks at radio's enduring appeal over the last 20 years. And in David Lloyd's Radio Moments, moves for Eddie Mair and Grimmy, Atlantic 252 arrives on the air 30 years ago. And there's the return of Noel Edmonds.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics. Find out how we're changing radio all over again at bionic.radio.
But first, Radio Today's editor and founder Roy Martin is here. Hello, Roy.
Hello, Stu. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. You've been on a holiday road trip this week. Any good radio stations on your travels?
Holiday road trip, yeah. We, me and the missus went to Scotland for the weekend. Okay. Just a quick trip up to Inverness and back, pretty much.
Like you do.
Like you do. And, I listened to a number of stations on the way up. I listened to Heart and Smooth and, that was about it, really. All the local stations. But no, in answer to your question, seriously, when I got to Inverness, I was looking for original and then I realised, wait a minute, that's the wrong city. Yeah. So that was a fail on my part. But I did listen to MFR2.
Okay, yeah, that's...
For the first time ever.
Yeah, yeah. Where's that come from? Glasgow?
Manchester. I thought it was... when I listened on, I think it was Saturday night, Darren Proctor was on doing his party dance show, whatever it was. So, yeah, it was great to travel all that way and listen to somebody in Manchester giving out mentions for somebody in Teesside. And we can come on to this, I'm sure, with our hot headline of the week.
Yeah, well, it is the changes at Bauer. They're going to network their drive time show across the Hits radio network in the north of England and the Midlands, excluding GEM and CFM. So 7 presenters will lose their daily shows. 6 are leaving the company. This is all happening from the 2nd of September. So Gemma Atkinson and Wes Butters are going to be networked across all these stations in the north. So stations like Metro and Radio Air and Hallam and Viking and Radio City. It's a bit of a big change for them.
It is, and it feels weird now that they've actually announced they're doing it. I know we've been guilty of encouraging them to catch up with global and just get on with things. But now that Bauer's announced, the axing of presenters and the closing of local drive shows, I don't know about you, but it just seems a bit wrong for some reason. I don't know if we're closer to the people involved or it just seems, Global's got a plan for national radio everywhere, but Bauer, they've got so many different radio stations and they're never going to uniform them all up. So it just seems like they're peacemaking little bits here and there. And it just seems a bit pointless to say, right, you 6, you're out and we're going to network your show. Because I don't know what they're actually gaining from, maybe this is just part one, but it just seems a bit pointless at this stage.
And obviously, in the markets where things are a bit different, like CFM, which I know the music mix is a bit different, and they've got a daytime show, and the same on GEM, they're going to keep those drive time shows. And those stations are taking network programmes from, 7 o'clock at night or 10 o'clock at night right through until the early hours of the morning, but they're not going to have the shared drive time programme yet. It's, as you say, but it isn't a one-size-fits-all like Global do. It's a different strategy, clearly.
It is, yeah, and it... We just don't understand it, I think. But the arguments given to CFM and to GEM being unique geographically or music, they could apply to every single one of every station that's gone networked. I mean, Radio City in Liverpool, I lived in Liverpool for a while, and just the buzz, the energy, the excitement around Radio City in the... I mean, you can't go anywhere in Liverpool without seeing it for a start because it's 450 feet in the air. Yeah. And you can see the logo. And it's just, Radio City is Liverpool. And for Radio City to not have programs from that tower for 20 hours a day, that just, and you can apply that to every city, of course. Every city.
Yeah, they said Liverpool was a kind of special exception when they didn't get rid of the weekend shows. So they've still got a local show on a Saturday and one on a Sunday for Radio City when the rest of this network doesn't have local shows on the weekend anymore. So it's a special case at the weekend, yeah. But not in the afternoon.
It sounds crazy. And Scott Hughes, who's the guy doing the show in The Drive in Liverpool, he sounds fantastic and he's got lots of heritage in the area. I mean, you could say this to about everybody, of course, yeah, but yeah. I'm just mentioning this now because it's happening. And it's such a shame. And I almost feel like Bauer should, you know, be the opposite of Global going forward and just provide decent local radio, at least during the daytime hours.
Well, I suppose they are the opposite in that they're having a local breakfast show rather than a local drive time show compared to Heart and Capital.
Yeah, but come 10 o'clock in the morning, you've nothing again, have you, till 6 o'clock the next day?
Let's talk about some other things this week. Talking of Capital, a complaint upheld against Capital Breakfast. It's rare that groups like Global get complaints by Ofcom upheld against them, but this was particularly bad because there was swearing in it. It was pre-recorded, and then they rebroadcast it later the same show.
Yeah, and this was quite a unique one as well because they had a complaint about an F-bomb that went out at 6:10 in the morning, which they probably would have got away with. But then they repeated the exact same audio 2 hours later without editing it. Yes. And they're blaming a technical issue. So either somebody edited it and didn't overwrite the audio, or they just forgot about it. We'll never know. But yeah, they got in trouble for this one. And then Global and Capital apologised for it. So it's all good. They've just had their knuckles wrapped on this one.
And some changes at Virgin Radio this week as well.
Yeah, this is nothing to do with Chris Evans, of course, because he stays exactly where he is and probably will do for the next 10 years. But Kate Lawler's on the move. She's going to drive from afternoons, even more of a lion. Tim Cocker's going to afternoons. And then Steve, who does a lot of cover work, Steve Denyer, is on evenings for now. I get the impression that's just temporary. But time will tell. Good luck to everybody there for their tweaks at Virgin Radio UK.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Macassar.
So something else that happened last week was Ken Bruce's We Stop for Popmaster tour. He went around some offices around the UK to do his show live and play Popmaster in a workplace. We can get a word with him now. Hi, Ken. How are you?
Hi, Stuart. Very well, thank you.
So as we're recording this third day, how's it all going so far?
Oh, we're having a great time. I'm actually really, really enjoying it because you never quite know how these things are going to go when you start, and you think you go out somewhere, we'll go to a workplace, at least you know they've invited us so they know we're coming, but you know, you never quite know how it's going to work. Will people actually stop work? Will there be too much noise? Will there be not enough noise? But it has gone really, really well. Very, very different venues so far this week. On Monday, we're in Northern Ireland at a bakery. Tuesday, an electronics factory. And today, in Wednesday, at a caravan showroom and supplier in Ulster in Warwickshire. So we've seen very different places. We take live music as well. So it's quite something to see a caravan showroom, the band Blossoms playing live, and Amy McDonald in a circuit board manufacturer yesterday. So it's been a very interesting thing. And it's lovely to get out and meet the people, meet your audience, and that's what we've been doing. It's a sobering exercise because you get to know what people like, what they don't like, and it's a very good thing. We should all do it more.
Yeah, we're kind of imagine it being like the 2019 equivalent of the Radio 1 Roadshow, so you're being mobbed everywhere you go. That's what it's like, is it?
Well, I think mobbing is perhaps not the most used and strange thing, but it's a gratifying number of people turn out, so it's nice. But what we're doing, because of workplaces, we can't really have the public just turning up offhand. So we're not allowed to say where we will be. We're not saying until the morning itself, so that we don't get, not that we're going to get, you know, 40,000 people kind of clamoring for me, but, you know, it could be. We've got some big guests this week. Some fans could have chosen to come along. So, we're a manageable number of people each day.
Have you learned anything about your listeners? Because when you see them and talk to them face to face and you see where it is that they're listening to the radio, you get quite a different experience to being in your box in Wogan House.
Yeah, absolutely. It's completely different. And it's lovely to see there's a very nice age range amongst our listeners. That's what's been the nice thing to just have reassured that it's not one group, one particular demographic, one age group. It is actually a very wide audience. It's adults, older adults probably too, but yes, there are younger people there with kids who, you know, are made to listen perhaps to begin with by their parents, but they seem to enjoy it too. So it's nice to see that we are Radio 2 still doing what we do best, which is being a kind of family station.
And Podmaster is just massive, been going for what, 23 years, something like that now. The half hour breakdowns still show the peak for Radio 2 during the whole week is Podmaster at 10:30. So I think a quarter of people who are listening to the radio at 10:30 are listening to you. That's some number, isn't it?
It's a very, very satisfying figure. I mean, as you know, in radio, it's only ever one person talking to one other person, but it's nice to know that there's a lot of these one other persons who are enjoying what we're doing. And I'm very proud of the fact that Podmaster gets the peak of the day. I think that's it's something I am proud of. I mean, it's not me personally. It's just the combination of a good quiz that seems to have caught the public imagination and me doing it. But, it's bigger than any one component. And that's where all the greater successes come, I think, when the sum of the parts is greater than the each part.
And it's technically quite difficult to do, I guess, when you've got the clips and things to play in as well. So keeping on top of it is probably even harder when you're on the OB, is it?
No, the strange thing is it's actually easier for me because I'm not doing any operation. I'm not pressing any buttons. So they're all being pressed in London. So all I just do is read out the question. And if it doesn't come in or the wrong jingle gets played, I can just roll my eyes and go, Oh, wouldn't happen if I was doing it. It's great fun. So it's actually easier for me to do this than it is back in the studio because it's quite a button-pressing operation doing Podmaster when we're in the studio. So it's nice to have somebody else take the heat off me for a change.
And you've done lots of spin-offs. I think you've done kind of an online thing on the Radio 2 website with Podmaster and some live events that you did for Children in Need. You do a podcast of the quiz every day. You've done this tour. What's next for Podmaster? Where does it go?
Well, we were thinking if this, you know, gets well received, and it seems to be so far doing okay, we might take it further afield sometime in the future. I don't know. We might do a similar thing next year. We might, we've got some options, we might go abroad. We might try something, might also do a few more live shows for those who would like it, because we've got quite a nice live show. It's not the same as the Daily Quiz, but it's similar enough for people to be able to do, you know, dinners or corporate events and things like that. So we're going to have a go at getting that going too.
Well, if you've been at the caravan show, you could buy yourself a big Winnebago and just do the show on the road every day, I guess, couldn't you? So.
Well, yes, it's tempting, but I'm not convinced.
Enjoy the rest of the tour. Thanks for talking to us, Ken.
Very kind. Thanks, Stuart. All the best.
That's Ken Bruce talking to Radio Today. And after I recorded that with him, we found out that he is now the proud owner of Radio 2's biggest show. His 9:30 till 12 slot now has more listeners than The Breakfast Show with Zoe Ball.
So does that give him the biggest radio show in the UK?
It does. The biggest radio show in the whole of the UK. It's going to be interesting to see what heart Breakfast has when that gets its national figures next quarter.
Well done, Ken. Couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. And hopefully, well, I don't know if it's hopefully not, but things will probably even out over time and The Breakfast Show will go back to number one.
Yeah, so a lot of headlines for Zoe Ball on the Radio 2 Breakfast Show, down 780,000 this quarter. The reach of Radio 2 down by about 760,000 to 14.6 million, still enormous.
Which is nothing, isn't it, in the big scheme of things?
And it's interesting to point out that the last time Radio 2's audience and the Breakfast audience on Radio 2 was this low was a couple of quarters into Chris Evans's tenure on the show. It went up when he first took over from Terry, and then it went down again and then came back up again. So I think trend-wise, if we're looking at long-term trends, 9 years ago, the same thing was happening. So I'm sure Zoe's audience will go back up.
Indeed.
So Chris at Virgin's added a few more listeners, 1.1 million now. Virgin Radio UK, 1.3 up to 1.5 million. Some nice rises. Most importantly, I think for Virgin, everybody's kind of been watching their figures since Chris joined. Their hours for Virgin Radio UK now over 10 million. It was 7.7 million, which was fairly impressive in quarter one 19. So it's what it's all about now, isn't it, in terms of the national advertising share. He's getting the total hours up. So Virgin Radio at 10 million is doing very, very well indeed.
That's very impressive, yeah. I think what Virgin need to do now, I don't know if they still are, but if they could go with another massive marketing push, then that'll ensure they can get up to their, I don't know, did they project 2 million?
Yeah.
If they did, then I think a bit more marketing would be needed for that, because it's slowed down a bit this quarter. But
yeah, it was a double page spread in the Sun on Sunday, I think, this weekend that I saw, which was very clearly setting out how you listen to Chris Evans on Virgin Radio and the fact that there's no adverts. So yeah, I think the marketing,
that'll help.
Certainly on the internal press advertising, is working quite well. Good book for Greg James. Capital Breakfast doing well as well. Nick Ferrari up 250,000 year on year. Classic FM Breakfast up 250,000 year on year. Kiss didn't do so well in this book, but Kistery, record high, 2.3 million. That's after moving on to Digital One instead of SDL, and is now the UK's biggest digital only station. It overtook Six Music this time.
That's fantastic. Great news for commercial radio.
Yeah, Scala, 258,000 figures if you've missed them and not seen them on radio today, just to give you the headlines. Scala, 258,000 for its debut. Country Hits, 208,000, which I think is pretty good for a station that's not on national DAB. It's just on a piecemeal of DAB transmitters around the country, so that's not bad.
Do you think they'll be happy with that?
I think they'll be fairly happy with that. Chris Country took a little bit of a hit, down by 3,000 on reach in London. Obviously, Chris Country measured in London only. If you look at that, though, Country Hits just got a few more than it, so 26,000 listeners for Country Hits in London, 23,000 for Chris Country. But it's all about the hours, as we said. Chris Country in London, 222,000 hours compared with 67,000 hours for Country Hits.
Yeah, that's why you can't look at the headlines of Chris Country with, 23,000 and Country Hits with 208,000. But I suppose if you put Chris Country on all the same multiplexes that Country Hits is on, then it would be more of an even playing field as far as figures go. You know what Chris should do? He should just put it on D1 and have done with it. Get the checkbook out.
Though, is it? It's not cheap. It's not cheap.
It certainly isn't.
A couple of other bits on radio. A record high for talk radio. Well done to them. Hours up 40% year on year to 1.9 million. And a good book for Jack Radio as well, which is on SDL. 32,000 listeners it had 6 months ago. It's now at 125,000.
That is really impressive. Yeah, well done everybody at Jack. You know, I would have just put Jack FM out nationally. There's so many sub-brands of Jack these days, I've lost count. But that proves that they're obviously doing it right. So 125,000, well done.
A few other headlines from around the country as well. Local radio lost about 300,000. Some drops at Merseyside, Sheffield and Leeds. Nottingham and London did all right. So Hits Radio in Manchester, another record low audience, 258,000. It was 374,000 about a year ago. But it's all good because the Hits Radio network has 6.5 million listeners.
Is this the Hits Radio network, including Country Hits and Greatest Hits?
Including Country Hits and Greatest Hits and Hallam FM and Viking and Clyde One and all those things. Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, all right, fair enough.
Ton of Clyde One and Fourth One both had a good book in Scotland. This book, highest ever reach for KMFM in Kent. Good increases for Lynx FM, up about 45,000. Not so good for More Radio in Sussex, losing nearly half its audience in the last 12 months, down from 49,000 to 27,000 reach year on year. And a lowest ever reach for XS Manchester, used to be 106.1 Rock Radio. It's lost 50,000 listeners in the last year, down to 67,000 reach.
What is going on there? I tell you what I noticed on Twitter actually yesterday. They've actually updated their Twitter bio, and you know how some stations list all the presenters in the bio field? They've just taken all the presenters off and just put the indie station from Manchester or something like that. So there was a joke that they'd possibly gone for a new strategy of having a non-stop music station rather than having presenters. Let's hope that isn't true, especially with this audience reach. But yeah, I thought that was interesting.
Okay. A couple of other things to tell you about. The Community Radio Awards are heading for Barry in South Wales. They're going to be on the 26th of October. Shortlists for those will be announced soon. And the Arias are heading back to London.
Oh, what?
Yeah. They're going to be in London in early 2020. The entries will open on the 1st of October. Get all your audio ready. No date or ceremony location as yet, but I understand it'll be a West End theatre at some point in maybe January or February or maybe March.
Well, that's a change. I quite enjoy going to Leeds, said nobody ever.
How rude.
No, it'll be good to get it back in London.
Fastest growing city in the world. What are you on about?
Really?
Maybe. Well, Channel 4 will move again. But yeah, so a couple of years in Leeds done, and the awards, the big, used to be the Sonys, of course, now called the Arias, and they will be in London early next year. And look out on radiotoday.co.uk for all the details. We'll also have the chair of the Arias on this podcast next week.
Looking forward to it already. Thanks, Stu.
Thank you, Roy. Speak to you soon.
Bye-bye now.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionics Studio. Listening, watching, reacting to and learning from every spoken word, caller, tweet and SMS to unmix, unlock and understand your content. The Bionics Studio transforms everything about radio except the way you make it.
Radio Today. This is the Radio Today programme, and excitement building now ahead of the new football season. The football season started, of course, already, but the Premier League season starts this weekend. I'm delighted to say on the podcast this week we can talk to the head of TalkSport. It's Lee Clayton. Hi, Lee. How are you?
Hello, Stuart. Yeah, good. Looking forward to the start of the season. Lots happening. Usual build-up of excitement, as you say. And especially here at TalkSport, where we've got lots going on.
Yeah, well, we'll get into a bit of that and your plans for the new season soon. But you've obviously, you're fairly new in the job. You've been at TalkSport since January, I think it was. Tell us a bit about where you've come from for anybody who doesn't know you and your background.
So background in newspapers. I actually began my career at News International when I was a teenager. And so therefore I have a fond affection for the place and for the opportunity that they gave me when I was a young man with a real desire to work in the newspaper industry, which is where I've spent my entire career, 14 years as head of sport at the Daily Mail, and then had the opportunity to come across to TalkSport. I've previously been a presenter here. I used to do the Sunday Sports Breakfast. And like I say, I've always had an affection for the place. You know, I have a real love for listening to live sport on radio, which stems back from days of listening to radio commentary on BBC Two when they would only have commentary from halftime. And I thought this sort of idea of creating the pictures with words was a real magical quality that commentators had. And that's really what I wanted to do. Never quite good enough to do it. But now find myself at TalkSport working with some incredibly talented people and looking forward to rolling out some of the ideas and some of the learnings that I can take from newspapers into working in the radio side of the industry. It's been an interesting 6 months.
And obviously back in the 80s, your first experience was with news, working at The Sun. How did you get in there in the first place?
Yeah, so it was 1987, and I was invited to be an editorial assistant. My dad was already working at News International. He worked in the plate room. He became the head of the plate room. And so I was invited along to an interview, and I realized there were a lot of people queuing up outside. Margaret Hook was the head of human resources at the time, and I was invited in, and I was given a job apparently because not because I had a great education, which I didn't, but I was passionate about newspapers. I used to be a newspaper delivery boy, and I'm massively passionate. I love newspapers. This idea of, you know, the kind of words jumping off the pages and a match that I'd seen the night before or listened to often on radio the night before was suddenly on the back page of a newspaper. I always found that, you know, remarkable. And suddenly I was given an opportunity to work at News as an editorial assistant for 6 months before I was given a chance on the sports desk. And very grateful to my dad, Peter, who initially opened the door for me and has been a constant support throughout my career. And I kind of felt at the time that it was a company that was willing to give young people an opportunity. And since I've been back, I see the same thing. There's a lot of hungry young individuals here who are looking for the opportunity to make their mark. And, you know, long may that continue.
Yeah. And you mentioned, obviously, you were a presenter on TalkSport. That was fairly early days of TalkSport when it just changed to TalkSport, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah. So Kelvin McKenzie gave me an opportunity. He was a former editor of mine. And I worked with Tony Cascarino, Andy Townsend, both former Republic of Ireland internationals, Neil Ruddock. Kelvin one day said to me, I think you can have your own show. It should just be you. It should be called the Lee Clayton Show. You should think of people like Chris Evans. Look at how he's made a career out of having a radio show of his own. The Lee Clayton Show. Let's give it a go. It lasted 1 week. He called me up on the Monday and he said, you know, you said you didn't think you'd be able to do it. You were absolutely right. So that was the end of that. And but I had a good 3 years at TalkSport, and it was at the time before they had lots of rights for Premier League and multiple other sports. They were clearly the new kid on the block. It didn't have some of the polish that they have now. But there was something about it that I enjoyed, and it was a big space. I was aware of that having at the time one radio station, this is before the days of TalkSport 2, that it was a big space to fill completely with sport. And now I'm across here as head of sport, head of TalkSport. I can really see that vast space that we have both across TalkSport and TalkSport 2 to fill with talking sport, live action, breaking stories, and all the things that we try to involve in every day in creating sport that we can talk about.
And obviously your press background is important, because you're now in a building where the Sun and the Times and the Sunday Times are, which obviously have a lot of sports journalists. So you've got that relationship to maintain and develop, I suppose, now you've moved into the building with them.
Yeah, it's interesting because there's competition, obviously. There are things that we can work on together, but it's important to me that TalkSport retained its independence. We're Premier League rights holders, which gives us a certain amount of responsibility with dealing with the clubs and building those relationships. That's something we've worked very hard on during pre-season. We've been around most of the clubs, and many of them have been in to see us. Manchester City, for instance, the champions, were in today to take a look around our studios here. Whilst we respect the role that the Sun and the Times and the Sunday Times have in the media world, it's important that as TalkSport we retain that independence, and we work quite hard at that.
And I know something from your background, obviously, in terms of original journalism and breaking stories and leading the way with sports coverage, that's something that broadcast media has tended not to do so much of. It, that kind of radio stations have followed what the press do and what they report. So I think you're quite keen to bring some of that to TalkSport and develop new content that you're breaking before anybody else.
We are doing plenty of it. When I first came across here, it was something that I believed was an opportunity for us to get out there and to break stories, draw people to us, add to our credibility. I think I've always felt that listening to radio is about giving your listeners something that they didn't know, and telling them something that they can then go and share with their friends. And that's quite an important part of our game day coverage that's coming up, that we're introducing something called The Analyst, which again is about providing strands of information that perhaps can influence how you may bet on a game, but also how you can talk to your friends when you arrive at the pub or you arrive at the ground, and you can share what you've heard on TalkSport. It may be, you know, for instance, a club that concedes more goals down the left-hand side than the right-hand side, or goals from set pieces, or, goals from crosses or long balls or something like that. Again, just adding to the layers of information that our listeners have in order to frame the day that they'll have watching football. So it's really important to me that, you know, we've done well with breaking news since I've come here. We can do better. We're up against armies of reporters in other areas, particularly, as you mentioned, in the newspaper world, but also across some of our other media rivals. But that doesn't mean that we can be second best. You know, it's really important to me that we have an attitude where we start off every day to try to be first across all of the big stories, and to try to have strands of information that inform our listeners. And we're doing pretty well on that. It's an area where we can improve, but I just wanted that as something that we could add to the quality schedules that we have and the outstanding broadcasters for which, you know, TalkSport have had for many years. I just wanted to add that extra layer and extra level of information to what we're sharing with our listeners. And as I say, we're doing okay.
And there's that appetite for kind of credible sports journalism at the moment. We've seen The Athletic just launched this week. They're, you know, hiring people from all over the country to cover clubs and do long form stuff and generate original stories. There is that massive appetite for audiences wanting more to go around their team than around the Premier League.
But Stuart, what I would say is, you know, we've seen in this country in the past that people attempting to bring out sports only newspapers, but the competition is so fierce. You know, I think if you look across, whether you're a tabloid reader or traditional broadsheet reader, the quality of sport that's available in newspapers and as a result of that online, I think is outstanding. So the Athletic have some very talented people, but I think they're coming into a crowded environment where there are a lot of top quality operators. And, you know, even in this building, you were mentioning earlier relationships that we have, but, you know, we have journalists such as Henry Winter, David Walsh on the Sunday Times, Neil Ashton on the Sun, Matt Lawton's joining the Times from the Daily Mail. And you know, for me, that they are among the elite journalists in the country. You know, I'd add somebody like Martin Samuel at the Daily Mail as well to that, who's due to appear on our new show called The Press Box next Monday, I'm pleased to say, which will be a rare talk sport appearance for Martin. But, you know, I'm keen for us to celebrate what we have in the building, but also in journalism. And you know, we have good relationships with newspapers, not only our own, but others. Darren Lewis is a regular attendee here at TalkSport, and very welcome he is too. So therefore I think it's a real competitive world, and ultimately if people are competitive, you'll get better coverage, and the people who are listening or are watching or who are reading will ultimately get a better service.
And so 8 months in, like any good football manager, you've kind of taken stock of what's going on. You've got a new season starting. You've brought some new players into the team. Tell us about your coverage for this season. What are you going to do differently?
Well, we just had record Ray Giles for TalkSport and TalkSport 2 as a network. And that really gives us a launch pad into the new season. It's an exciting week. You know, we've had the start of the championship with the official broadcast partners at the EFL. We've had the Community Shield, and now we're in the week leading up to the start of the Premier League, when we have an exciting proposition of three games back to back to back on a Saturday. We're calling it Game Day. The origin of that idea is, I always feel on a Saturday, you know, I would get a text from we have a WhatsApp group of West Ham fans, that's my team, and somebody will always send a text to the WhatsApp group that says, it's game day. And that's the kind of point of excitement, the point of difference, really. And I feel that that's what Saturday is. It's, you know, obviously now the convoluted world of football and broadcasting means that there's football across every day, but I still feel that Saturday is the key day. And so we've changed our scheduling. We've packed our scheduling on a Saturday with a number of new shows, which I'm excited to hear for the first time when they're broadcast this weekend. The kind of center point really is 12:30 kickoff, which will also include a build-up show of 90 minutes, which starts at 11 o'clock with Reshmin Chowdhury, who very, very talented broadcaster, who's joining our team. And she'll be leading with Sam Matterface from the London Stadium, West Ham against Manchester City, our first game. And also on TalkSport, then we'll have Game Day Around the Grounds with Adrian Durham, who's a master of his art at what that guy does. Before I came here, I was a huge fan of Adrian's and you know, what he's able to do in getting around the games, the goals, every kick. At the same time, we'll have a 3 o'clock live game on TalkSport 2. And then back to TalkSport, we have a 5:30 kickoff this weekend, being Tottenham against Aston Villa. So the challenge for us is we want to bring people in early, weekend sports breakfast. Then we have a Saturday game day warm-up with Max Rushton and Charlie Baker. We want to bring people in and we want them to stay with us. You know, we really feel that we will give across Saturday no reason to go anywhere else. Come and stay with us with a mixture of preview programming, live programming, and then right at the end with Laura Woods, we'll have the Game Day Your Verdict and an opportunity for the listeners to have their say. So, yeah, I really sort of see Saturday as a great opportunity to grow our listenership, grow the hours, but also give our listeners an experience that they go away enjoying and want to come back for more.
You mentioned some of the changes in presenters. I mean, guests. TalkSport really has historically probably been seen as a bit of kind of white van man radio. I know a large chunk of your audience is male, looking at the Ray Giles, but your schedule that you've introduced for this season looks quite diverse, both in terms of male, female and BME representation as well.
I think we just got talent. You know, that's what I was looking to achieve. I recognize what TalkSport is for a long time. If you we've just done some audience research, and the loyalty that the listeners have to people like Alan Brazil, who have been here for a long time and continue to provide great entertainment in the breakfast show alongside, you know, Ali McCoist and Laura Woods. What I wanted to do was to make sure that we maintained those qualities and added to that too. So, you know, Reshmin is obviously somebody we welcome. Hugh Woozencroft, great experience of working at the BBC. We welcome him to our channel. Darren Bent, Trevor Sinclair and Glenn Johnson. Now, you know, Darren and Glenn, I don't know either of those guys particularly well. I like their broadcasting work and I'm delighted that they've committed to staying with us. Trevor, I do know well, and I'm absolutely thrilled that he's joining us. He'll be in the commentary box for Saturday's game between West Ham and Manchester City. And when you just hear his voice and his excitement about being involved and joining our team, he's always a broadcaster I've had a lot of respect for. Somebody who comes with a lot of history of playing for a variety of clubs and also being an England international. And I just think that, you know, they bring an authority, you know, and working alongside people like Stuart Pearce, who, you know, I always saw Stuart as, you know, covered him many times as a football reporter in my early days. Always flash back to Euro 96, that moment of sheer joy when he scored the penalty against Spain in that shootout. And when I listen to him on the radio, I feel the same passion from him too. You know, football for me is a game that I enjoy watching hugely. And I enjoy attending games whenever I can. But I think football on the radio is something that just creates so much tension, so much passion and so much, hopefully, some joy too. Although when you're a West Ham fan, that's not always evident. And I certainly think we've got the lineup to be able to reflect that.
And we mentioned TalkSport 2. Obviously, it's best ever radar reach. I think it got last week. It's up 60% year on year in audience terms. How has that enabled you as a programmer to say, we've got all this space to put other sports and not just the focus on football, which obviously at this time of year, the focus is quite often on football, but you've got an outlet there where you can broaden the range of sports that you're covering, I guess.
We can. You know, it's the home of the EFL. It's also the place where we've covered cricket extensively in recent times and we'll continue to do so. South Africa tour coming up, which could be fascinating. You know, looking forward to seeing some interesting names in our commentary box. For instance, there's been some press recently about the prospect of Kevin Peterson being on our team. So I look forward to further information on that. We're talking about a women's football show following on from the success of the Women's World Cup and also with the Women's Super League, which opens in September. And I think they've been very clever with the choice of first game, which is Manchester City against Manchester United. So that brings an attraction and an interest into that particular fixture. So we're looking to reflect that in our coverage too. So not only in a single show, but across our coverage more regularly, we'll make sure that we're across what's happening in the women's game. As you say, TalkSport 2 gives us an opportunity to extend our coverage. And, you know, it's an area that's a growth area and we're looking forward to extend that.
And I just wanted to ask you about your website as well. A lot of radio stations have a website that just kind of has some information about the radio station, a bit of news and stuff on there. But your website kind of leads the way a little bit in terms of the sport that you cover. And the radio station is secondary to TalkSport.com a little bit, isn't it, in terms of its prominence on there?
It's there to promote what we do on the radio, but also at the same time, it's, you know, we're looking to draw viewers in to come and see whether there's breaking news or information on their team. Transfer blogs, for instance, are hugely successful on there. But there are other sports too. Boxing is very popular on our website, has also proven to be popular on air. And we find sports like wrestling doing tremendously well online. So there's a wider variety of sports online than perhaps we see regularly on the radio, which on TalkSport we generally tend to focus on football. But, you know, look, I'm having a great time here. I, you know, obviously, there were challenges for me, Stuart, coming across here from having spent a whole career in newspapers. But I've been made to feel very welcome. Worked with some outstanding and talented people. Liam Fisher's made life very easy for me since I've come across. Laurie Palacio, Tom Hughes, enjoying working with those guys. You know, these are people steeped in a love and a passion for radio. And they've taken me by the hand. Hopefully, I've not made too many mistakes along the way. And as we come around to the start of the season now, this is a great chance to see what we're doing here. And I look forward to sharing it with the listeners.
And obviously, Tony Cascarino is still on Weekend Breakfast. That's your old show.
I can't believe he's still around. You can't get rid of him, you know. I'll tell you a quick story about Tony before I go. He got very upset with me once when I was presenting and took me into a cupboard in the old Hatfields. and very aggressively asked me to stop laughing at him on air. But what had happened was his teeth had fallen out. He had false teeth, and his teeth had fallen out during we were doing tongue twisters. The audience were highbrow stuff, but the audience were asking us to do tongue twisters, and during a tongue twister, his teeth had fallen out, which I found quite funny. However, he didn't share the fact that I'd enjoyed it so much. So he politely, or not so politely, asked me to restrain myself from laughing at him. We talk about it regularly now because I'm very fond of Tony. He's a great guy, terrific broadcaster, fantastic football knowledge. And as I say, yeah, somehow he's still here, and long may that continue.
I bet he's enjoying having you as his boss as well. Fantastic. Well, all the best for TalkSport and for West Ham for the new season. And thanks for coming on the podcast.
Great. Thanks, Stuart.
That's the head of TalkSport, Lee Clayton, here on the Radio Today programme. Still to come, James Cridland and David Lloyd. First, a word about CleanFeed. Check it out today at cleanfeed.net. There are new features just announced coming soon to the Pro version, which will enable you to record in multitrack, which basically means all your separate guests that you've got connected on the line with you can be recorded as separate files. How handy is that? It's great for doing OBs or doing interviews with guests in remote locations. It's been designed for radio people and for podcasters. It's really easy to use. The quality is great, and you can even record in the browser, as we said. It won't cost you anything to get started. CleanFeed will only take you 30 seconds to sign up, and you'll be doing your first live interview or recording within minutes. Find out more today at cleanfeed.net.
In this video, I'm going to show you a DIY natural cockroach killer using baking soda.
Oh, no, thank you. I'm James Cridland, the radio futurologist, and I don't much like talking about radio in negative terms, and I'd really rather people didn't compare radio, a medium I love, with a cockroach, an insect that I don't. Some cockroaches can live for a month without food or even survive just using the glue from a postage stamp. And if you think a nuclear war might kill the things off, you'd not be right. They're 15 times more resistant to radiation than we are. Cockroaches are really hard to get rid of. And radio? Well, the UK has just seen its latest radio research. It's interestingly complete data, a properly nationwide sample, unlike Australia or Malaysian data. Measuring every radio station irrespective of whether it appears broken out in the figures below, it's quite open about time spent listening, as well as population reach, unlike the US or Canada. And the current research has been going since 1999 in much the same form. So now we've got 20 years of data behind it, though the methodology has subtly changed through the years. I took that 20 years worth of research and drew two graphs with it. One graph shows the amount of people in the UK listening to radio. In 1999, 89% of the UK was listening to radio at least once every week. In 2019, 20 years later, the figure remains 89%. In 1999, let's just remind ourselves, the fastest internet connection you could get in the UK was a 512k connection. Napster came in 1999, iTunes in 2003, Spotify in 2008. Back in 1999, mobile phones didn't have Wi-Fi inside them, and 3G only came in 2003. YouTube launched in 2005, the iPhone in 2007. So we've seen incredible change in the last 20 years. Change that should, of course, have meant the death of radio. But the second graph I drew shows the amount of time that radio listeners are listening to the radio per week. In 1999, it was 22 hours a week. The latest figures show 20.8 hours a week. Yes, the figure's falling, and we can probably expect it to continue to do so. But to have lost less than 10% in 20 years is nothing short of astonishing. Sure, some will criticise the methodology. Apparently interviewing 100,000 people every single year isn't enough. Some people will point to the population getting older. Others will point out a more severe drop in younger audiences. But all this misses the point that overall, radio is surprisingly resistant to any attempt to kill it. So we should be proud that radio is the cockroach of the media world. But probably prouder still that unlike the cockroach, we continue to evolve. You can get my weekly newsletter at james.crid.land and daily podcast news at podnews.net. It's very good. And until next time, keep listening. And now on the Radio Today programme, here's David Lloyd. Radio
Moments. We've become quite used to long, drawn-out on-air farewells, but some are still understated. This week last year, Eddie Mair indicated an unusual farewell from his current affairs programme PM on Radio 4.
On Monday, after an archive recording of Morecambe and Wise was discovered after more than 50 years, we played a small selection of their best bits and ended the programme with Bring Me Sunshine. Well, many listeners told us how much they enjoyed it, including Greg, who wrote in, I think he's a country and western fan. Greg advised we listen to the version of the song recorded by Willie Nelson. All right then.
Bring me sunshine in your smile.
Eddie Mair quietly leaving Radio 4 to join LBC this week last year. And that same week in 2018, another farewell.
Now it's time for the final time, the Radio 1 Breakfast Show with Nick Grimshaw.
Radio 1. Oh, morning, everybody. Here we are then, Thursday morning, the 9th of August. And it is Grimmy with you on the Radio 1 Breakfast Show for one final time. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, everybody who works here at Radio 1, everyone who's worked on the show. Thanks to all the DJs. It is so fun coming here. And like I was saying before to Sarah, like, I wanted to do it since I was little. And it's been even better than I thought it would be. So thank you, everybody who's made it so, so good. Thank you to everyone who's listened and everyone who's sort of, you know, contributed bits of their lives and mad stories from their lives. And they've made these 6 years as much as we have here at Radio 1. So thank you, everybody who's texted in and told us, like, mad stories about what you've done to your exes or what you left for your nan in the toilet, like all that nonsense.
Nick Grimshaw with his final Radio 1 Breakfast Show this week last year. Talking of Radio 1 Breakfast Shows, it's 19 years this week since Sarah Cox was reprimanded after suggesting the Queen Mother smelt of wee. Sadly, I don't have the audio of that, but if you do, I'd love it. Atlantic 252 was to disrupt UK radio. Its test transmissions began 30 years ago this week, broadcasting from Ireland to the UK. At the start, it was originally a joint venture between RTE and the then Radio Luxembourg.
This is Atlantic 252 with test transmissions in preparation for regular broadcasts to begin soon on this frequency from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. every day. Stay tuned to 252 on the long wave band for news of our official start update. This is Atlantic 252 testing new transmitters for a new radio station coming soon.
Back then, of course, commercial radio here was more talk-intensive. There was no national commercial radio, and it was before DAB too, so the station was broadcast on long wave, and reception wasn't always easy.
This is Atlantic 252. To improve your reception of our signal on the long wave band, you could simply try lifting your radio set and turning it around a little bit to either the left or the right. Regular broadcasts of Atlantic 252 will begin soon.
The test transmissions for Atlantic 252 from this week 30 years ago. By August 1994, the station was attracting over 4 million listeners in the UK. Stuart Henry was a familiar radio name for a generation. He'd been on the Pirate Radio Scotland. He spent many years with Radio Luxembourg. And also he was on air in the very early days of Radio 1. Stuart lived with MS for many of his later years on air. But this week in 1986, he was back briefly at Radio 1, some 5 years after his diagnosis had been made public.
How amazing. He goes off to compete in the Commonwealth Games, leaving me in charge. A very good afternoon to you, my friends. My name is Stuart Henry, and it is truly incredible to find myself back in my old radio station, Radio 1, because I never thought they'd ever let me through the door again. But Jim has fixed it. So, let's get organised. I left the Beeb originally in 1975, so I thought it might be a good idea to concentrate on the following year, 1976, which gives me an opportunity of playing some of the great sounds that I didn't get spinning first time around on Radio 1. So let's go with Mr. Elton John and the only number one a man ever enjoyed. He was with Kiki D at the time.
Stuart Henry, back on air at Radio 1 this week in 1986. He died in 1995. Talking of comebacks, Noel Edmonds returned to the BBC this week in 2003, filling in for Johnny Walker.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Drive Time. I'm Noel Edmonds, and I'm really delighted to be here. But I'm extremely unhappy about the circumstances, obviously. I wish Johnny well with a really speedy and successful conclusion to his treatment. He'll be back in October, so you've got me for 8 weeks through August and September. Please be gentle. I've not done anything like this for a while. In fact, it's 25 years since I last hosted a daily radio show. Quarter of a century. No, I think 25 years sounds better. I was only six at the time.
Noel Edmonds on Radio 2 this week, 16 years ago. Some anniversaries are too good to miss. 1991 and a memorable test match special.
I tried to do the splits over it, and unfortunately, the inner part of his thigh must have just removed the bail.
He just didn't quite get his leg over.
Anyhow, he did very well indeed, batting 131 minutes and hit three fours. And then we had Lewis playing extremely well for his 47 not out. Angus, do stop it. And he was joined by De Freitas, who was in for 40 minutes, a useful little partnership there. Lawrence, always entertaining, batting for 35. 35 minutes, hit a four over the wicketkeepers. Angus, for goodness sake, stop it. Hit a four.
Yes, Lawrence played extremely well.
He hit a four over the wicketkeeper's head, and he was out for nine. Tuffle King.
Test match special from this week, 28 years ago, with Brian Johnson and Jonathan Agnew. 1980 now, and the first show on Capital Radio from Richard Allinson.
I did the UK Top 30.
The Capital Countdown.
It was recorded because they were rebuilding some studios, and I'm going to name him. The producer was a guy called Jeremy Lloyd, who went on to run Carlton. It was not a happy experience because I was being driven, because the only recording studio that was available was that one. And the first time, the guy started the number 30 song too soon. So I crashed the vocal. So sorry, we'll do that again. So we did it again. And the producer didn't edit out the first take. So I'm sitting at home with my mates and we hear this go out and I thought, that's wrong. And then 20 seconds later, it stopped and the whole show started again. Which, of course, was embarrassing in itself. But then 2 hours later, when it got to the countdown at number one, and we had to go into IRN News on the hour, we had to chase the number one.
Richard Allinson reflecting on his first show proper this week, 39 years ago, Hot Foot from University Radio. So with the final David Jacobs show on Radio 2 6 years ago, after being on air since the mid-1940s.
I'll be here at the same time next week, so until then, or whenever.
Dale Winton's debut on commercial radio 42 years ago.
Into the second hour of the Dale Winton Show this Tuesday afternoon with the Motors, and that's called Airport.
It's DLT resigning from Radio 1 publicly 26 years ago.
Am I sorry I left? No. Am I sorry I did it on air? No, not at all.
And some Midlands commercial radio stations causing competition concerns this week, 11 years ago. What goes around comes around. Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Thank you very much, David. And to our other regulars, James Cridland and Roy Martin. And to my guests this week, Ken Bruce and Lee Clayton from Talk Sport. Next time on the Radio Today programme, we'll hear from Sam Bailey, who's a trustee of the Radio Academy, and he's been tasked as chair of the ARIA's 2020. We'll find out what is changing as the awards return to London next year. That's on next week's podcast.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Macassar.